Blog Talk Radio.
And it was all good, cause it's just like every other kid in the hood. Like, last time this boy cried, when he woke up one morning, realized he was a fatherless child. Daddy never there, showed him no love, learned to emulate thugs, bust slugs with the intent to kill. Ran these streets, hide in a cable bill. Paranoid cause these streets are stressing him. His motto, ain't nobody getting the best of him. Round these parts, drug wars make the guns spark. Triggers ain't got no heart. Women are hoes, kids in the way. God, that's just the word in the Bible. They pray for death on their rivals. Out here, nobody cares. You can smell genocide in the air. From the corners, some kids gave birth to crackheads and chicken heads. They were misled by some father's old heads. They know the cop reek, work off the reekers. They went to war with the dredge. Better off dead is what this old lady said. She spoke truth to power. In his darkest hour, they closed his casket at 19. Rest in peace, t-shirts, laced his whole team. His mother crying, dressed in black. Searched the church, front to back. Even on this day, a daddy he lacked. You're a self-exiled monarch from your castle and home. Making you a king without a throne. Making your son a prince without a crown. Look at him now, he lived and died a fatherless child. And this must be supported karma. Like Sonia Sanchez being my father's baby mama. So you see my dad thanking for me, for giving me this gift indirectly. Top 5 dead alive wordsmith in hip-hop, R&B, or poetry. So if you think you'll outright me, forget it. And you can take that to heart like God said. Maybe when I'm going to give me credit, but right now, I'm that boy you want, that boy. I'm like Langston Hughes on steroids. Alonzo and Shop, a little girl, little boy. Better father than my daddy ever was. And if poetry was a drug every day, I'd be thinking it in the head and blowing the bag. And steeping out my soul to you. Sit next to me, might catch a contact. But I wish boys was a female. So I could dive in face first. Put my mouth where she did first. Grab my hair and slap on the backside and ask her, whose poetry is this? She say it's yours, daddy. And 9 months later, she'll make me happy. Give me 2 miracles. I name one wordplay, the other lyrical. Just so I can walk up to people and say, did you see my lyrical wordplay? Never had a daddy, but I always had poetry. So I gotta thank God for giving me this literary style. And maybe this makes us even. For me growing up, a fatherless child.
Whatever it is that to assist others that are out here trying to do the work to assist our African-American males and boys. But before we get started with that, my grandsons want to say a few words because this is the flip side, a form, a catharsis for our young people to speak to us, and in return we listen and then we get into action mode to assist and heed to the call of our young people. So we're going to take it to first with my young, one of the youngest grandsons, and he's looking at me like, my mom point to the other one.
Always get first dibs.
You always get first dibs. Okay, we want you to move up to the mic so you can just express what is on your mind. My beloved grandson, and what do you want the audience to know as in reference to how you're feeling about what is going on in the world, school, what you see on the street, and how you think that we best can assist in our efforts?
Okay. Well, first I'm going to start about, say, I need to
take your time.
First, I'm going to talk about all the violence that are mostly seen on a daily basis. I mean, it's a like good and good. It's a good and bad world at the same time, but it can be.
It's a good and bad world at the same time. Okay.
Like it's a good time, but it's a good.
It's fine.
It's a good world mainly by all the community activists, the people that mentor young black men. Like, those are the good stuff that happens in our world. But then there are, on the other hand, the bad stuff, like gun violence, violence.
And so how do you feel about when you say that the good stuff, you say the good stuff in the world, the community activists and things of that nature that are helping black males, do you see that the efforts that you have been involved in with your grandmom and the people that I have introduced you to, do you see that those efforts by you being a young man, you know, you go to the Jill Scott camp, which is a beautiful thing that you go to every year, and we work with Jill Scott and Aisha Winfield from Junior Music Executive, the Blues Babe Foundation. I'm sorry, to work with that effort. Do you think that that approach helps young people as your friends, your peers, yourself, when young people don't have that other, their fathers around, or even mothers around? Do you think that those type of programs help?
I would mainly say yes, because, like, say, like your friend Brother Nasir, my mentor, he helps with young black youth like me. Fatherless, motherless, they don't matter. But he helps young black youth, like boy goes into boys to men. All these organizations?
It's fine, whatever you want to say.
All these organizations help all black, not just male, but young females as well. All these would help and account for on the good side of this world. And pretty much that's a good thing.
Okay. Beautiful. Wow. See, they say that it begins at home. You can go out and try to an attempt to save the world, but we must not forget the young people that we have right inside our home, and we have to continue to get them involved. And I appreciate and love you for that, grandson. That was excellent. I have to applaud you for that. Now we're going to take it to my oldest grandson, and we want him to share whatever is on his mind with us. Grandson, the floor is yours. It's okay. This is the flip side. You're at home, feel comfortable, and we're just going to keep it real.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
I want to talk to you about, you know how you heard when someone says home where the heart is? Like, everyone heard that?
Yes, we heard that.
Pretty much.
Well, sometimes it isn't true. Like, I was living with my dad and mom. Sorry. Like,
when you said that sometimes home isn't where the heart is. So we're going to take that, and I know where you're going, and we're going to let you go there, but we're going to take that with using it as experiences that you may have experienced, experiences that other young people experience. So we use it in that format. And when you say that, I know that we mentor a lot of young people here. And so we just wanted to clear it up. That's why he stopped and looked at me. Because when he was home with mom and dad, that's where home, that's where the heart was. You see so many young people don't have those opportunities to do so. And right now he's a little choked up, so we're going to continue and let him compose himself and continue. Go ahead, grandson. So when you see the young people and you experience young people, you're the one that went through a lot of bullying in school and life problems in school, and we see that other young people, like young men like yourself, because you're on your way into that puberty stage, he's covering up his face like, oh my goodness. What do you find that a lot of things and issues that you see within the schools or dealing with your peers that may help us understand the issues of young black males, boys your age, go through in general? It can be the problems you see either in education. Is there problems in school? Is there problems you see with young people interaction? I mean, you always speak about grown-ups keeping their word. Is that important to you, the word being your bond?
Yes, that is true. That really is important to me, because keeping your bond is part of your reputation, but also it's part of your life, too.
How so? How's that part of your life? Keeping your word, and
like,
that your word means something, a value.
Like, everything you say, everything you promise, is going to show how your life is going to turn out. And show other people how you act and how you interact.
How you act and interact. So that goes along with the, as I spoke and I read about, the core values. It goes along with the core values and things of that nature that you have been instilled as a young man. Talk about you as a young man. What are some of your goals and that you want to achieve?
I want to pass college and become a great astronaut, discover new things, scientists as well, and have a great life.
Just have a great life.
Yes.
That's great. And how have you been trying to, so far, I know you're only 11, so how have you tried thus far, even with the hardships that you had in your life, and we don't have to discuss that, but the things you have went through in your young life, how have you tried to stay focused? What helps you to stay focused and as a young man in your life right now? What is keeping you focused to get the grades that you do and to reach that goal of success?
You are.
Me? Why you say me?
You make me determined.
Make you determined?
Yes.
Determined for what?
Determined to make my goals in life.
To make your goals in life?
You always have to.
Like I am always determined. That's a good one. I try to be determined. I try my best. But, you know, I just wanted you to know that you are very special to me. I see great things. I see great things about you. I see greatness in you. I appreciate the knowledge that you have. I appreciate your openness. Willing to share, willing to follow in the steps of your grandmom. You are a beautiful humanitarian. You are the one that recognized me at your school, that I was honored with a beautiful award, and I appreciate that. And another thing about you is that I appreciate is your determination to be successful, your determination to, when you see there's something wrong, you immediately try, and you are a great humanitarian. When we always have events, you are the first one up there ready to serve and ready to assist. And I just want you to know, grandson, that I admire you, I respect you, and that means a lot. I know that your word is your bond, and I trust you. And when people can say that about an individual, that is a great, great achievement. You have already achieved success right now at this point. You are 11 years old, and you have a talk show called The Flip Side that you're sharing with your grandma, and you can appreciate that. I appreciate you. I'm sure the audience appreciates you. And your grandson, I take your willingness to be here and to share your the way that you feel and in the way that you put it so eloquently and so, I mean, well-mannered. I'm so proud of you. I am proud of the grades that you have made. I am proud of the achievements that you have made. And I just want everyone to know, what are your goals that you plan to pursue as you become into that stage of manhood, and how do you plan to get there?
I have like about 10 goals.
Okay, let's hear them. 10.
1, pass the school I'm in. 2, pass high school. 3, pass college. 4, be a football player. 5, be a doctor. 6, probably be a professional wrestler. 7, get a mansion probably at my football job.
Okay.
8. We'll stick with 7 for now.
Stick with 7 for now.
Hello, hello, the flip side and the LOL boys. This is your producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I just wanted to let you know you do have a caller on the line.
Okay, thank you. First caller, welcome to the flip side. Who is on the line?
Caller from the 610. Well, maybe they don't want to talk. Sometimes people just call in to listen. So.
Okay, so we're going to continue with our discussion. If the caller seems to speak, you're more than welcome to do so. Now we want to find out back on the goals and how do you plan to achieve those 7 successful goals, wonderful goals that you have for yourself.
Most of all, I have to get good grades in school, get a college degree, get like all A's and B's, mostly, all the time. In high school, I had to get my diplomas. Only
one.
Okay. Get my high school diploma, and after that, I had to make my biggest step of all, college.
That's your biggest step of all. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, let me just remind you, he just turned 10 years old.
Okay?
So it's amazing to me. I just am tickled and smiling from ear to ear to hear this come out of my grandson's mouth. So you have to excuse me for the joy that you may hear coming forth. I'm sorry. You can continue. And what do you think about, me and you speak about this all the time, in reference to male achievement. And sometimes, you know, I ride you young brothers hard and about that education. You know, my mom don't play with the education piece. But you, too, express how you feel about men stepping up to the plate. And that seems to really be one of your biggest grievances that you have with a lot of our African-American males. I always hear you say, don't say it, just do it. So that's the model that I like to take on, don't say it, just do it. And anything that you want to speak on in reference to that, anything that you want the men in general to know, how they best can assist young boys such as yourself. Or even young boys that you may know, your peers.
Well, first I'm going to start talking about the saying, don't say it, just do it. Like, say if one person grown men or a child, my age, brother's age, doesn't matter, wanted to, like, help around the community, clean up the streets. They would try and ask somebody, but they don't really don't have to. All they have to do is just go outside, use your gloves. And I would do.
Uh-huh.
Use your gloves, broom, dustpan, sweep it up, put it in the black trash bag, and all you got to do is you got to clean the street. So maybe you don't really have to wait or ask somebody to do something that you really need, that you really want to or need to do. Just don't say it. Do it.
Wow.
And I'm only 10 years old.
So that is beautiful. So in other words, what I get now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes as adults our interpretations are not quite on the mark. So we need to have young people like you involved to put us on the right track. Sometimes we need to be placed on the right track also. So what I'm getting from you is that if we, as community leaders and African-American adult men, we see that there's a need for a cleaner and safer Philadelphia, as we say, as we did the music video, Philly Can Be, a safer Philadelphia. And in doing so, instead of trying to run to other organizations to clean up your own neighborhood, get out there, get a trash bag, and then you can't afford trash bags. You can't afford brooms. You don't have to wait for the city to give you brooms. Okay, get out there and don't say that we need clean streets. Get out there and make it happen and have clean streets so our young brothers like yourself can walk in a better environment, in a better community. Am I saying it correctly for you?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about, young brothers, before I let you go? Okay.
We do have another caller on the line.
Okay, caller.
Is there a talker one this time?
Yeah. It's a caller from the 804.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I just tuned in. My name is Joan Gossier with HBCUKids.com, and I just was impressed. I don't know I tuned in late, so I don't know the age of the last speaker, but I just was saying amen, and that's just such out of the mouths of babes. I mean, don't talk about it, be about it. I so agree. I have a little tagline I always say. It says, don't criticize, organize. You know, save that energy about yapping about what you don't like and organize and get it done. So I'm just gave me chills to hear them say that.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. We really appreciate it. They're up here smiling and happy with joy. And that's one of the things that we want to promote throughout the Flip Side and our everyday lives, that we must listen to our young people and encourage them when they're doing and trying to extend information to us what makes their world better, because eventually we are going to have to turn this world over to them. They are our next generation and our future, and their opinions really matter, and our feedback, it really matters. So I thank you and appreciate you for that. And grandbaby, how old are you?
I'm only 10.
Just turned 10.
Amen. That is awesome.
He said,
well, I do have a question. I'm just curious. I was talking to some high schoolers just earlier today, and I keep hearing from them that they don't care and they don't even plan on graduating from high school. And I would wonder, what would a 10-year-old have to say to someone that's quote-unquote your elder who has written off education at such a young age, but yet they're older than you?
Anyone, she's giving the floor to you.
Okay.
If you heard one of them, let's say you were on a school bus or you were out, you know, on a playground, what would it say to you, or how would it impact you, or would it not impact you and why, and I guess what I'm ultimately trying to get to is how to counter that message. If that message is coming down, I know as a parent, it's the wrong message and it's not the correct message, but my children who are under age 10 are closer to hearing that than, you know what I'm saying, like what I would hear. So I'm just looking for some words of wisdom from you all on how you would interpret that or what you would think about that.
School is important, and if you don't finish school, you won't have no success. So pretty much all you have to do is finish school and you get all the success that you will want and need. What do you want to say?
And school isn't success. You got school, get a degree, you got to go to college. Well, you don't have to, but mostly, some people think they don't have to. I heard of that some people made it through college, made a successful life without college, but for me, college is the way to make it through life.
Yes, it is. Without college, without college, you won't have a good job. Like, say if you wanted to be that airplane flyer that you always wanted to be. You have to get into college. You had to go to college and get your degrees in order to fix that, to get that job. You can't just go to high school and expect that you don't have to do it. So, pretty much you gotta go to college. Finish high school first, go to college, that's it now, you have your success.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to take it a little bit further than that for you guys. Let's use an example of, and we're not going to say his name, my godson that we just hung out with over the weekend that went on the trip with us. What if he was to come here today and say, God, Mom, and brothers, I decide that I'm going to drop out of school. I don't want no more school. It's not going to benefit me. I want to go out here and do what the other boys are doing and make money the fast way. I'm going to may get in trouble, but I don't care because what I see right now, I don't see any hope going through the school because the school is failing me. When we spoke about this, I think this is what you want. Okay. Oldest grandson wants to speak on this. What would you say to your godbrother?
I'd say watch me.
Wow.
Just watch me. You drop out of school, and I won't. Watch me get out of school. Watch me be rich. Watch me be famous. And you think you're going to make a lot of money on the street? Go ahead and try. Just watch me. Watch me.
I love that.
All right.
I would mainly say, if you decide to drop out of college, drop out of high school, you won't make a decent job. School is everything for a young person like you and me. You say, do you think that all these people that's on the streets that drop these dropouts that are in the streets was not going to making a lot of money. See, if you keep going, you'll make even more. Drop out, you barely make a lot. Like, at least $2 a day.
So where do you think that it would lead them if they decide to continue down the path? With deciding that maybe there's...
You want to be on a radio show? Tell Tamara.
Sure.
Bring the phone downstairs.
And saying that you said watch me, you said stay in school, you can make a lot of money. And remember we spoke about the core values and giving back to society. Can you give back to society without wanting to put something in it? Do you think giving to society is what we talked about Martin Luther King, and we watched the TV programs of how they used to have to beg for education. How do you feel about that and where you are now? where you are right now, and I'm God's brother sitting here. How do you feel about that, telling me, as I taught you, brother, about that piece?
I say this to my godbrother. I watched a TV program before. It showed how all these men, people, slaves, ancestors, and other people had sacrificed their life for us. Education, school, freedom. You're going to drop out of school after all their hard work? What do you think you do? What do you think the ancestors would say? What do you think all the people that worked hard for that would say to you? What do you think?
That almost made me cry.
You just do it right now.
Wow. Okay. Are we going to wrap it up?
Yeah. You just do it right now.
And we thank the caller for that, and we thank you for allowing us to engage in dialogue on that. That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I just want to share with them, my daughters, they're 7 and 8. They're working with their mom and some kids in our community on a book. It's called We All Start Small, and the goal is to try to inspire children from all over the world to not settle for these man-made limitations of acting black, acting white, whatever. Do your best. And so it's a beginner's black history book, if you will, and the website is weallstartsmall.com, and I just want to welcome the two young warriors to come check us out, and if there's anything that you all have in your heart that you would like to share in the book, we would welcome it, poem, speech, biography, photos, drawings, anything, we would definitely welcome anything that you would like to contribute.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're
get
welcome.
Get a little doll or get pictures. When is the book done?
Here it is. It says, we're going to repeat that. The website is weallstartsmart.com. Once again, weallstartsmart.com.
Small. S-M-A-L-L.
Oh, we all start small.
Yes, we all start small.
Smart. Look at that. Way to give you a different name. Okay.
Well, that may be the site for the young warriors there to come up with We All Start Smart. They can compliment each other.
Well, thank you, and may the Creator continue to bless you, my sister, and your work, and continue to bless your daughters on the work that they're doing with working with you. And hopefully one day that our paths will cross in person.
I'm sure, and I'm just so thankful for Jacqueline for having the show as an outlet for our youth to, you know, realize and see that there are other warriors out there that are doing the right thing, and sometimes it may seem like the kids around them aren't interested or, you know, aren't quite ready to start on that path, but shows like this help them see they're not alone and that, you know, we are moving forward as a group of people.
Go ahead, you can go.
thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure having you.
I enjoyed it. I did, like I said, how many is it? How many of you? Is it three? I think I heard three voices.
No, you heard two.
Two, okay.
Yes, it's two. One is the age just turned 11 in April, and one just turned 10 in April. They're a year apart. And just beautiful young men that wants to assist in any way they can to get the word out about the plight of young African-American boys, and they are true humanitarians by heart, as you can hear. They are young men that are following the examples of and listening to what they are being taught and watching the examples and choose to go towards the negative instead of the other right. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, they struggle with trying to stay on the right path, but they know that that's a goal for them. And being in the environment of our urban cities, they, I think, have really at a young age have set their boundaries and what they will do and what they won't do, and they stay true to the course, and they know how to separate themselves from others that they have haven't quite gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when they understand that everyone has issues, and we talk every day, we talk about things that sometimes it blows my mind with these young men.
Right,
because they
right.
They come so real, and then when you give them an opportunity to speak and to speak what's on their mind, and they do so, that's an outlet, and you give them a safe haven. Sometimes when we're out here doing this work, and I have been doing the work since I was 16, I'm now 50 years old, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And you do the work, sometimes the ones that we love that are closest to us, we assume that they're safe and that they understand, and we go out and we try to save the entire world, and then sometime we begin to lose our own. So I want to make sure that in raising my grandsons that I don't miss the boat and that they're there hands-on, and I will never take a moment and say that they're safe, because I will still instill in them and keep them close and involved in everything that we do. And I've noticed that it has helped them to grow, it has helped them to see and understand the plight of African-American males in America and the importance of education and core values and respect for oneself. So thank you again, and we're going to let you go because we can talk to you all night.
Okay.
Okay. We want to thank our caller for that wonderful dialogue on the flip side. And I my grandsons are giving me the signal that it's time to go. Are you all ready to go? Because if you are, okay.
I'll stay a little longer.
You want to stay a little longer? Do we still have our producer, Jacqueline Taylor Adams, on the line? Okay, Jacqueline must have taken a break for a moment, so we're going to continue. What I want to bring up right now is a gentleman that I'm just going to speak about him because he's not on the show, and I eventually plan to have him on the show, and we're going to talk about who's going to be our guest within the next 2 weeks as well. Caller on the line?
I'm sorry about that. I didn't drop off. I thought she was going to mute me. Did you all want me to drop off?
No, my producer, who controls my buttons, she must have stepped away for a moment. So you can just hang on, and when she come
okay.
on here, she'll drop you off, okay?
Okay, all right.
Don't even worry about it. Hang
I'm
on.
I'm trying to keep the noise to a minimum. I apologize for that.
It's okay. We're not going to. But this is the flip side. Anything is liable to happen. We're sitting here in the living room of our home, so this is where we do the flip side, and it's okay. The bell might ring, so it's all right. But I'm going to speak about this book that I received from a dear friend of mine by the name of Reverend Alfonso Wyatt. And Reverend Alfonso Wyatt is a very spiritual and enlightened man who has really touched my life, yes, the Muslim sister, my life, and has really enlightened me on a lot of things, and one of them is about time. He wrote this book for the Ready, Willing, and Able program with the DOE Fund, which is in New York City, and they also have the Willing and Really and Able program here in Philadelphia. And Reverend Wyatt, Alfonso Wyatt, he speaks about having so much time when time is on your hand and how to utilize the time that we have basically to uplift yourself. And one of the things he says is, what is waiting for me down the road? He gives a lesson on how to utilize your time. And I just want to read one thing that he has placed in his book that really triggered me in this conversation of what are we going to do about time having so much time on our hands and utilizing time properly. He says, beloved, I want to take a little of your time to talk about time. Please don't think that I am playing you short or trying to say that you don't have a watch or something. Now, you have to understand Reverend Wyatt is a brother that keeps it rolling and he keeps it real. And he's a God-fearing man. And he says, I want to share some thoughts about time as it relates to your life. While we all have the ability to tell time, none of us have the power to tell time what to do. It seems like when we have the most time, we do not use it properly. And when we can use time the most, it has a way of running out. Have you ever been in a serious situation and you desperately needed time to either speed up or to slow down? Can you remember trying to make up for lost time because a voice in your head that sounded just like you said that time is slipping through your fingers? Then he goes on to say, my brothers and sisters, you cannot do anything about yesterday, but you do have now. You use the present time to change future time. Now, that is an excellent use of time. So he goes into explaining different lessons about how to utilize your time. And you don't utilize your time by sitting around and saying, woe is me, I wish I had a, I wish I could have. And we want to use that in reference in this portion of the program to speak about time is in your hands in assisting our young African-American males, and what are we going to do about the time that we have on our hands and the time that is in our hands. So we're trying to figure out who are you really trying to reach with the time that is in your hand, and how are you trying to reach them? These are questions that I came up with in reference to time is in your hand. We know that there is poverty that our young people and our community is facing. We have to strengthen each other because, look, time is in our hand. We cannot continue to wait for the government, President, respectfully, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, to make miracles for us. We cannot wait to vote on a bill that may never reach us anyway. We cannot continue to wait for people to hem and haw about the education that our young people are subjected to in our school districts and with the politics that's surrounded right now in Philadelphia, surrounded around our schools, where everyone is still politicking. Our young people, we have time. And their time right now is in our hands. We are in a state of emergency, and we have been in a state of emergency for years, and I've been saying this since I was 16 as a young girl, that our communities and our young African-American males and our females, we are in a state of emergency. And I cried out for help then, and where now we have made the cry, we have done the marches, we have been about the rallies. We have spoken to this one, and we have voted. And now it is time for us to utilize the time that is in our hands. And how do we propose to do that? I propose to do that with collaborative efforts, like utilizing the show that a flip side, a catharsis for young people. And as I said before, that the flip side had originated as an effort on violence in the streets of Philadelphia when a young friend of mine, her nephew, was shot, and also the other friend, it was her son. And we decided to give them a platform to speak about and to help ways of helping ease the pain and to give them a platform for that. And that was also made into a short TV program that lasted for a minute because of funding and things that we needed to make that work. And then my young friend Sparkle of the Underground Connection attempted to assist me and got me on AM radio show to promote this. And then time went on, Jacqueline Taylor Adams started the Master Griot radio and often extended her assistance to come on the radio show. And when you're doing collaborations and people are saying, come on and do this and come do that, and Rashida, don't worry about it because we appreciate the work that you're doing, so we're going to overlook the cost right now. And so things can get better, don't worry about it, just come on, because we are in a state of emergency and they recognize that. And I appreciate Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams for her efforts, and I don't want to forget Ms. Sparkle of the Underground Connection, because without these two sisters and these two women having faith and having an understanding that the time was in their hands to help make this effort to flip side a form for our young people to speak and to speak with everyone in their mind. And we have had some wonderful shows in the past and wonderful shows now and wonderful shows that we anticipate in the future. But we just don't want to talk. We want to also talk the talk, but it's most important to understand how we can continue to walk the walk. Our young people are facing incarceration. They're selling off schools and closing schools but building more prisons to house our young babies. We know that the prison system is overcrowded and overloaded with who? Our African-American males. Now they're starting off with the boys, and we have to find out what is going on with our young boys that we have so many that just don't care. They have given up on life, and they have lost hope and have lost faith in the adults. And we have to restore that faith through efforts like this, through collaborations and recognizing and supporting one another. A lot of us that are listening and that will listen have tried to do this work by ourselves. And some of us have done wonderful, wonderful work. But now we have laid the groundwork. We have shed the tears. We know who's about it and who's not. So it's now for us to seek out those that are about it. And don't be so concerned of what the next man is getting and what he's not getting. Let's be concerned about moving forward. I don't care if the next man gets $5 million and his objective is to put that $5 million in his pocket, then he has to answer to his Lord for that. And yes, that may jeopardize our chances, the good people, the people that are really trying to do this work. They may jeopardize our chances forever being funded by anyone that's going to fund grassroots organizations because of the other entities. But one thing that we have faith, and we have that will to make a difference, and the understanding that if this is something that God or your creator, whatever you believe, has placed in your heart to do, then that makes you abnormal, and there are abnormal things that are going to occur because you can't be sane doing this work. Something a little bit got to be wrong with you. And I can't say that I'm 100% sane. There's a little bit, I got some issues. And the issues are my love for mankind, my love and compassion for young people, which has been my passion for a lifetime. And we have to join together to reduce the rates of incarceration, to reduce the violence on our street. And how do we do that? We need mental health, physical and spiritual and health healing in our communities. And if we have to do it a block by block, individual by individual, because a lot of times we try to reach millions and thousands, and sometimes we have to reach one or two, and those one or two may be sitting right in your face, and they're the ones that's going to help us and make that difference. We have to educate our young people. We have to teach them the history, the true history, that has not been taught to them. And a lot of times our history lessons are within our own homes from our life experiences, the good and the bad. And we have to be able to be honest and willing to be honest with our young people and to let them know that everybody in this world is not about you. It's not for you. But you have to be for and about yourself because time is in your hands. And I want to thank Reverend Wyatt for sharing that book with us. And once again, this is with the Ready, Willing, and Able program, and that is the Doe Fund, Inc., the Doe Fund, Inc. Now, I just want to give you a brief of who's going to be on our show in the next 2 weeks, on the 21st, and you don't want to miss this because this brother really has something to say to all of us. Phenomenal, sought-after, renowned motivational speaker. He's a psychologist, therapist. He has his MS, his EDS, and he is a phenomenal speaker, and he's definitely about the plight and educator of our young African-American males, which is Brother Umar Ara Abdullah Johnson. And we're going to have him on the 21st. And you, I trust me when I tell you, as they used to say back in the day, you can mark my word, you do not want to miss this phenomenal brother that's going to speak about the plight of African-American males and the warfare of the psychological warfare of African-American males in America. So you do not want to miss that. And I want you to tune in next week and to call in to give your feedback. And that may be a situation that you may try to call in and you may not get through that week. But we're going to keep you posted on that. And as I said before, who are you trying to reach? How are you trying to reach them? And what efforts are you using to try to reach the young people or communities or women or whoever you're trying to service and advocate for? We all need to come together and support one another. And we can't always be everywhere for everybody, but sometimes it's good to say, listen, I couldn't be there today, but set a date and I can make it out there to see you. And then we need to define what does winning look like. This is something that I always speak about. What is winning? Is winning for policymakers? Are we just winning to help politicians continue to abuse our African-American communities? And then once they receive our votes, we no longer are important to them? Come on. We have to start speaking out amongst ourselves and making change. We have to be about change and stop allowing our own to do what they want to do to us in our own community. Then how can we speak on anyone else if we don't step up and speak out for ourselves and speak out for our young people? And as my grandson said, it's with your actions. Get out there and do it. You don't need a whole bunch of funding to say, I need to feed some children. You don't need a whole bunch of funding to say, my neighbor is hungry and I need to assist my neighbor. My neighbor is an addict. I need to assist my neighbor. That young child needs a pair of shoes and I have $100 in my pocket and I'm going to go and waste on something else. And you see that young man walk past your house every day walking on the heel of his shoe and sometimes don't even have a soul and you don't make an attempt, an effort to make a sacrifice of helping these young people. This is where we go to the core values. What are you going to do? What are you going to do and stop making excuses what you can't do? There is so much that we can do. And we don't need a whole lot to do it. We need each other. And we need to speak out in our own community to those who are causing our community injustice. Whether it be your next door neighbor, whether it be the politician, whether it be the store owner that came in your community and is making money off of your community, it doesn't matter. We need to come together, not so much on negativity and rallying to get people out your neighborhood. No, you show them how to come in your neighborhood and to be productive members of your society. because our community is our society, and we got to fix home before we can venture out and fix anything else. So we have to take it neighbor by neighbor, block by block, school by school. I'm a sister that has done it. A survivor of cancer, I have adopted a school that my grandbabies don't even go to. It's in my community. But we cannot continue to do this thing alone, so we seek out help. And a lot of times it ain't about money. Sometimes, look, can you come to the school and speak to the young people? We're doing a food drive. We're doing a coat drive. We're doing a sneaker drive, a shoe drive, a food drive to help these young people. Can you bring a pack of hot dogs? Can you bring a pair of socks? Can you just bring your time to be in support? Sometimes we turn people off when we're always begging for their money. You can't keep begging poor people for their money. So what we have to beg them for now, let's try asking for a little bit of their time.
Hello. I just wanted to share with you that our caller from the 610 would like to speak.
Yes, 610.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. This is Brother Imam Rasul Farid. Farid.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Farid Rasul, yes.
How are you?
How y'all doing, little brothers?
Great.
Sister Rashida, alhamdulillah, it's very, very, very warming to hear and listen to the presentation of the little brothers. That's very genuine in the sphere that they're living in life and their perception and their understanding from how they can view things or where they're going in life. And this is very, very valuable. One of the things, you've said many things tonight that have been very, very on point as relates to the things that we must do and we have to do and continue to do in order to find the success that we're looking for within the broader spectrum of our community, and meaning the families, the common unity that we share, the families that are experiencing what the inner cities have brought to us and this urban life has brought to us. And what's very clear to see, and just listening to the young men who spoke this evening, is that it's very clear to see how one learned mind is more valued than 1,000 ignorant ones. And so it is very, very valuable that we see that educating our children in the way of that enhances them going forward is very, very important to the foundation of them having productive lives. And so education is very important, has to be important, and must be important, and will remain important. And so one of the things that can be that has to be given to the youth that are within our sphere of reach is to help them to understand that the education that we keep saying, go to school so that mommy and daddy will be happy for your grades, to get good grades because then mommy will be happy, you'll make daddy happy, and then we'll give you a gift. They must come to realize that those grades that they're getting are really not for mommy and daddy. Those grades that they're getting are the gift that they're really giving to themselves. And when we can get them to see that, they may have a greater understanding in going the extra distance not to quit and not to drop out and not to fall by the wayside. Because if they're thinking they're doing it for someone else, then many times then they say, well, that's for you, and so you will swallow that and you will get over it because it was for you. But when they realize it was for them, then that will make a difference because no one really wants to cheat them on their own selves. One of the things that I say to many of the youth sometime, and some of the little brothers who are there now could probably understand it, you know, if I gave you $1 million and I said to you with this $1 million, all I want you to do is build me a home, and I don't want to see you until you finish. When I see you again, I give you this $1 million, I don't want to see you again until you come back and give me the key to go inside the house. And when they go to build the house, they think they're building it for me. Or they're building it for you since you say to them, here's the $1 million, go build it. And they could go to Home Depot or they could go to Lowe's or any other stores that supply goods for building homes. And they could buy the most valuable things, the most long-lasting products that are there, which cost more. Or they could buy the look-alike that has the look like it's the value product, but it's not going to last as long. And they could build the house for $1 million, or they could build the same house with the same look and appearance of the $1 million house. They could build it for the $500,000. So the one who thinks he's doing it for you and no one is watching him, then he will go and maybe buy the cheaper product that looks like the best product and put it inside the home. And in the end, he saved the $500,000 and give you the key to what he thinks was the $1 million house that you were receiving. And but only to find out that when he goes back to tell you, okay, I'm finished, and he goes to give you the key, and when he gives you the key, you say, no, I don't want the key. They say, no, but I'm finished. The key is yours. You say, no, but the key is not mine. The key is really yours. I figured that if I told you to build it for me, you would build the best. So, therefore, if I told you to build it for me, because the key, the house is really yours, but if you went to build it for yourself, you may have gone the lesser route and cheated yourself. So I figured if you build it for me, you would build the best. And in the end, when the one, he gets the key back and he realizes that I just built the house that was for me and I didn't put the best in it, then he realizes in the end he cheated his own self or her own self. And so education is like that. We say to our children, go to school, get good grades, mommy and daddy be proud, and you'll do good in the future. But in the end, when it's all said and done, that education was not the gift for mommy and daddy. That was the gift that they were giving to themselves. And when they realize that, you know, to shortchange on that gift is them to shortchange themselves. No one wants to shortchange themselves. So when they go to understand that, then education becomes a different view of how they look at it when they realize it's the gift for their own selves. And so I applaud you in what you're doing and working with the youth and encourage them. And, yes, time is of the essence, and we have to use it in a great way. And as you said, Reverend Wyatt, he's done a marvelous job in putting that information forward and putting it in writing it down that you can reread it and read it again and reread it and read it again until it really sinks in to the point that you begin to approach life with that type of discipline, where you don't waste the time. It becomes that you invest that is not exhausted, and you will see the results of that going forward in the future of their life. So we have many issues that are facing our community and facing our youth, but as you said, we do have the resources within the human spirit of the human being that we can make the change within our own neighborhoods, within our own communities, if we would just come to a common unity that we all share and wanting the best for each one of us. And at the same time, knowing that, as it was said earlier, I think they said, we all start small, but we also all start smart. If you look at the youth, who have fallen by the wayside, or we see that they have not gained the focus to continue in the way that we would say would be true development for their benefit, you'll see that when you go back and look at when they were small, there are times when we were all small that everybody got some A's or B's. And right. Then if you follow it somewhere along the line, you find that the one who was getting A's and B's, now he's getting C's and D's, or he's not getting anything at all because he's not showing up. But at some point, he was like everyone else. He was that little child who was smart. It was no more than he learned his colors properly or he learned his numbers properly. But somewhere along the line, he was smart. So we was all small and all one smart, and so therefore that's still inside of us. And you and I, as the adults who know that and have the sensitivity to be concerned for them to have it again, have to find a way to bring that out of them so they are not lost into the prison systems and facilitating another lifestyle that others are feeding off of, and at the same time looking at us as though we are nothing, and at the same time while they're saying we are nothing, their lifestyle depends on us being that nothing. So therefore, if they do not want us to find and discover the something that's really inside of us, that's the greatness of us.
Wow. Imam, you always leave us speechless, you know that. And we are so thankful that you called in. And we want our listening audience also to know that Imam Rasul Farid will also be a guest on The Flip Side and upcoming shows, and he's also a part of the collective that we are engaging in with here in Philadelphia, And we want to thank you for that, and we want to see if the young brothers have anything to say in response to Imam before we let the Imam go. They're smiling. Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
We're back to you.
You're so speechless.
Well, you've left me speechless and listening. And, you know, one thing that we always remember that we have two eyes, two ears, and one tongue, so we might always observe and listen twice as much as we start, as we speak. So you all have said a whole lot to today and this evening for us to ponder and think about in helping the others that we want to be just like you. And I applaud you. And you continue with the vision that you have, because as you begin to see the world more and more and more, it will expand. It will become greater and greater and greater in your application upon life in this world. So I say to you, congratulations, and you've inspired me, and you've inspired, I'm sure, all those who are listening to be encouraged to continue to realize that they are those who we can help, and we who are available must help. And so we will. And I believe that we will find the success because we have. And by way of that, we will have lived the life, and our life of living will not have been in vain.
Alhamdulillah. Imam, we thank you. And we're going to let you go because you know that you always have a tendency of turning me into a big crybaby. So we got to get you off the line.
Okay, so... continue with the good
and we
work,
will.
And we will continue.
Yes, we will continue.
Yes.
But we want our listening audience as well. You heard a little of Imam Rasul Fareed, and we're going to be sending out notice. You're going to be hearing about him because he's going to do a special segment for us upcoming. But we're going to talk about that as we move forward after the show that we do with Umar. So you see that we have a lot of men in our community and within our lives that are, it takes a village. And I am so thankful that I have a village, that God has really blessed me, Allah has really blessed me with a village of strong men who are ready, willing, and able to assist our young people and the young men, my grandsons and my son throughout the years, and the young people that I mentor, and I'm so grateful to brothers like the Imam that just say when there's a call and there's a need, he's right there. Sister Rashida, what is it you need? Whether it be words of encouragement, action, he's right there. And I am so thankful to my Lord for this brother and for all the brothers here that has came to the call. And we're going to name a few down the line, because we're good ready to let the grandsons go to bed. And we want to thank Mr. Trey McNair, one of the young brothers who has been an inspiration and encouragement as well. And we're going to backtrack. We're going to thank, first of all, my husband, who has been a wonderful example to my grandsons and teaching them the values of showing them what a man is and who a man is. So I thank him for that. I thank Trey McNair from Agape. I thank Mr. Ted Sutton from Baltimore. I thank Mr. Steve Vassar from United Way, who came here to take a walk through the hood with our LOL boys from the Bartram Village, the young men that we mentor from the Bartram Village. We thank him for that. We want to thank, again, Reverend Alfonso Wyatt for his encouragement and the wonderful work that he's doing around across the country. I also want to thank Brother Nasir from Stop the Violence, Stop the Madness, a wonderful organization. And the brother did an interview with us 2 weeks ago and in need of your support to help him with his efforts of black male achievement. We have Brother Yumi Oldham. He's a young brother who is really geared towards educating our young men literally. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, I see you're cutting in. Is there something you want to say? Okay, we're going to continue. And we want to thank so many that I probably forget. Brother Azeem, Brother Jeffrey. And it's so many that I want to thank in the efforts. And artists who have helped along the way. Quiet Storm, a young brother who is there for the call through his music. Adrian, so many more. And we welcome you once again to the Flip Side. We want you to continue to support the Flip Side. Tell your friends about it. Tell your family about it. Because we're trying to do some things here. If there's suggestions that you may have in reference to the talk show, or you may want to be a guest, there may be something on your mind that you just want to get off your chest and you want to share with us on the Flip Side, because that's what this is, and we want to continue with that. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
Yes, ma'am. What did you want? Did you want me to play something?
Yes, we want you to play a song. We're going to take a break. We're going to let the young men go ahead and sign out to give their good night. And you want to say good night to Miss Jacqueline, who you all love dearly. Howling and blushing, Jacqueline.
Yes, same.
Good night to Jacqueline.
And good night to your audience.
Good night, sir.
And good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Hope you listen next time.
Okay, good night. And I love you, grandsons, as I said before. I appreciate you, respect you. Hey, what can I say?
We have another caller real quick. We have another caller from
the street. Okay, I'm going to be our call, last call before we sign out. Go ahead, caller.
All right. Hold on. Let me unmute them.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Rasul Amin. I represent Independent Ministry, How to Put the Neighbor Back in the Hood, and I'm calling from East Norris, New Jersey. And I know you only got a couple of minutes, and I came in on the tail end, and I just want to tell y'all to keep this going. This is very, very important. One of the problems is there's not enough men out here spending time with the youth in the streets. It's time to come out of these masjids, churches, houses of worship, and get involved in the community where the youth are at. We have to learn how to meet them where they're at. We're living in an oppressive word environment. Lil Wayne came out with an album. He sold 1 million copies. I'm not a human being. That's a dangerous language for people that's not thinking. So to the men that are listening, we have to come out, get involved, and meet these youth and spend some time with them. One of the things I do is take them to the masjid, not to convert them and make them Muslim, but we give them Islamic and African-American history about the times that we got off of these ships up until today. So I just wanted to make that brief comment. I'll try to find your show again another time where maybe I can speak a little bit more and get more feel of the program. But please, this is timely. The youth need us. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Do not hang up. Wa alaikum salam. We need to hear, what is your organization again, Independent Ministries, and how can we find it? Do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's www, it's one word, but it's spelled INDP Ministries, MINISTRIES.info. And it's an independent ministry. I've been doing it for about 20 years now. I work the streets. And my main concern is how to put the neighbor back in the hood and working with the youth. And I'm from East Orange, New Jersey.
Wow. And besides your website, if someone would be interested in probably assisting you in finding out what more do you do, can you give your name again and a number where you can be reached?
Yes, my name is Rasul, R-A-S-U-L, Amin, A-M-I-N. And my number is 973-444-5509.
Wonderful. And Brother Rasul, once again, we want to thank you for calling into the Flip Side. We will be airing again on the 21st. But if you go to the Master Griot Radio, where you have now received the information, or through the pages, you can also go on there and click on previous shows that the Flip Side has done. And it will give you a better understanding of what we do. And we're going to, I'm Rashida, and we're going to definitely stay in touch with you. We want you to continue to, and perhaps there's some way that we can collaborate on the efforts of what we're doing and what you're doing out there in East Orange.
Thank you so much. And just where are you located?
We're in Philadelphia.
Okay,
Pennsylvania. Yeah, we're,
okay.
We are in the inner city, southwest Philadelphia.
Mm.
And we do so many things, whether it be via the music industry, the local community one-on-one, just collaborating with others to whatever means necessary that we have within our own community, because we're very resourceful in our own community, how
yes.
we can help better assist our young people. And this is part of it, inviting those like yourself, finding out what are others doing, because a lot of times there are, and we say, unsung heroes within our own community that are doing the work, that are sincere, that are really out here struggling, trying to do this work, and we need to know about one another. And this is
yes.
another purpose and reason for the flip side. I may not be able to run out to East Orange, but there's someone in the collective that may be able to assist you with what you do. And this
well,
is
thank
how
you so much, and I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll definitely get your contact information and reach
yes,
out.
Yes, sir. Great. And the young man, my grandsons, would like to say something to you.
Thank you, Brother Rasul.
I mean,
it's been a pleasure having you for a speaker, a guest speaker, and we're going to say goodnight.
Hey, thank you, my young brother, and I just want to share with you, when we talk about prophets and messengers from Adam to Muhammad, see them as potentials that are within you, and you can achieve and you can reach great heights.
Thank you, Rasul Amin, for coming on the show as a guest speaker.
Okay, and we want to thank you again, and we're going to get ready to sign off. And what I want to remind everyone that you can share this show with your friends. It is on demand, and before we disperse, we're going to have Jacqueline Taylor Adams, our producer, to give out the information, how you can locate the show. And once again, I'm your moderator and one of your hosts for this evening with J&R Grassroots Artist Development. You can locate us on the website is www.jrgrassroots.org, or you can email me at jaljabb@aol.com. That's jaljab@aol.com. And we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to thank our beautiful callers that have called in. I like to call you our guests and family, because we are family and we're trying to find ways, the best ways that we can be longevity of helping and assisting our young people. But one thing we must not forget, we must continue to engage. We must engage our young people. We're speaking about them. We're trying to implement initiatives and programs for them, but we're not including them. So we must continue to include and ask our young people, what is it that we can do for them, not so much as what can they do for us. What is it that we can do for you? Because this is our future, and as I said before, our African-American male is in a state of emergency, and what are you going to do with this time? The time is in your hands. Thank you for listening to The Flip Side. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, can you please take us away and give us the information? Jacqueline Taylor Adams, you are a true diamond in the rough. I am so appreciative and so thankful that God has allowed our paths to cross and has allowed you to stay a while in my life. I am so grateful for you. Without you, none of this can be possible. You are a true soldier and a true warrior for our young people. Please support Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams. Support her efforts. When you hear of marketing opportunities and you need marketing done for you, please, please, please check out Ms. Jacqueline Taylor Adams. Support this sister, because she is a true soldier for our young people. Thank you. I'm out. Your host, Mrs. Rashida Jabbar. Jacqueline Taylor Adams, please take it away.
Okay. This is Master Griot Radio, and you can catch the Flip Side right here on Master Griot Radio at www.mastergriotradio.com. And we're also planning we're going to make a separate site just for the Flip Side so we can put all the shows together. So that will be available by tomorrow morning on Wednesday, that's June 8th. You can go to http://theflipside.mastergriotradio.com. Again, that's http://theflipside.mastergriotradio.com. And you can also find us on iTunes. You can pull up all of our shows, and it's over 2 years' worth of shows on iTunes, and it's free to download. So if you just go to iTunes, go to your iTunes store, and in search you put Master Griot Radio or Master Griot NBBTA, the shows will come up, and you'll find the Flip Side shows, and you can download them free right into your iTunes. So this is Master Griot Radio. You've been listening to The Flip Side with the LOL Boys from the Ville, and your moderator has been Mrs. Rashida Jabbar, JNR Grassroots. Now we're going to close out on two favorites here on The Flip Side. We're going to Hezekiah with Cody Chestnut, What Kind of Cool, and then we're going to roll out on Liberties, Thank You. Have a great evening.
Greetings, people. This is Cody Chestnut, Two Capital T's, and you're listening to Brother Hezekiah, Cure for the Common Soul.
Some things we just outgrow. Damn, how much you grow, shit. man, that was so 3 years ago. I sleep like a VHS. Now it's Blu-ray and high tech. And you love what you're seeing on the TV set. Cause you run out quick trying to be that shit. And how you flying first